Coming to you live from the Retroist Vault, Retro Radio Memories is on the air.
Welcome back, friends, to the Retro Radio Memories podcast. I'm your host, Vic Sage, and thank you for joining us once again. A little time has passed since we were last able to come together down here in the Retroist Vault and listen to some classic old-time radio shows together. Thanks to my co-host on the Saturday Frights podcast, The Projectionist, we can sit here by the comfy fireplace and enjoy some vintage radio shows. Like the subject for today's show, we are once again visiting the legendary Lights Out series with an episode entitled, He Dug It Up. If you have listened to this podcast over the years, you will know that we are no stranger to this old-time radio program. Originally conceived by Willis Cooper in the fall of 1933 for NBC, broadcasting locally on WENR. And in the beginning, the program was merely 15 minutes in length. The whole project, dreamed up by Cooper, was to play late at night, when most other radio stations were focusing on playing musical programs. The format of the show was lengthened to 30 minutes in 1934, and in April of 1935 was picked up by NBC and broadcast nationally. Willis Cooper had many irons in the fire at the time, and he ended up leaving the series he created in June of 1936, passing the creative reins to Arch Obler. Interestingly enough, the series was so popular at the time, it's been said that over 600 fan clubs had sprung up across the United States. 600 fan clubs, which is an incredible number to say the least. Most fans of the Lights Out radio series will agree that as amazing as the radio program was under Cooper, it took off to new heights with Arch Obler in charge. Although, having said that, Obler was always quick to credit his friend and former boss with having been one of the first people to realize that radio could be an art form. Overall, the Lights Out series ran from 1934 to the summer of 1947, with little breaks here and there. It was one of the original old-time radio programs that focused on horror and the supernatural, helping to pave the way for the likes of the Inner Sanctum and Suspense radio programs. Our episode today, He Dug It Up, was originally broadcast on February 9th, 1943. So at the time of this show being published, that means it was 76 years ago. Our story focuses on an elderly English gentleman named Mr. Jeffrey, who has decided to put around his garden, planting a tree that his son gifted him. When, to his surprise, as he is shoveling the dirt out of the hole he is digging, he finds a most curious thing. A stone. At least, that is what he first believes it to be, before quickly realizing that what he has uncovered is a stone sarcophagus. One that the Romans of old left behind. Now, why would they have done something like that? Let's find out, friends, as we listen to He Dug It Up on Retro Radio Memories.
Arch Obler's Lights Out, everybody. It is later than you think. This is Arch Obler bringing you another in our series of stories of the unusual. And once again, we caution you, these Lights Out stories are definitely not for the timid soul. So we tell you calmly and very sincerely, if you frighten easily, turn off your radio now.
It is a nice day. Yes, I agree with you, Mr. Sparrow. It's as nice a day as I, too, have ever seen. I remember a day like this when I was about 12. Mother took me into London to see the King's Palace. Yes, that was Edward. And I had on a green suit and I... But that wouldn't interest you now, would it, Mr. Sparrow? Funny, I never went back. less than 100 miles away, and I...
Morning, Mr. Jeffrey.
Good morning, Mr. Elkins.
Well, Mr. Jeffrey. Oh, kind of late in the season to be planting now, ain't it?
Oh, I wouldn't exactly say that, Mr. Elkington. Not for what I'm planting.
Now, what would that be, might I be asking?
A tree, my friend.
Oh.
A nice, strong catalpa tree. My son sent it to me all the way from Exeter.
You don't say catalpa tree. Well, now. I say, could I be giving you a hand with that shovel, Mr. Jeffrey?
No, thank you kindly. I like to dig in the soil, and the exercise does me good, thank you kindly.
Oh, well, then I'll be off on my business, Mr. Jeffrey. Good morning to
you. Good morning, Mr. Elkington. Good morning. But it is a good morning. Yeah. The rain certainly softened you up, didn't they, Mr. Brown? Nice and soft. Nice and soft. Going to dig you a nice deep hole, Mr. Catalpa. Yeah. Nice deep hole so that your roots will have a good firm start in life. Yes, indeed. Well. That's not the way to act, Mr. Ground, throwing big boulders in the way of my shovel. Mighty big stone, too, from the sound of it. Dig you up, Mr. Boulder. If it takes me a week, yes, indeed. Big stone, all right. Keep after it, that's all. Buried all these years in the corner of my garden, and I never knew about you, now, did I? There. There, that's showing results. Yeah. Like an oblong. That's queer. Big, flat oblong stone in my garden. Dig you up, that's what I'll do. Dig you up, yes, indeed. Oh, Mrs. Gracie, Mrs. Gracie.
Yes, what is it?
Mrs. Gracie, come out here. You've got to come out.
All right, all right. Now, what in creation is it, Mr. Jeffrey?
Mrs. Gracie, look. Look.
Land sakes alive. What kind of a hole for a tree is that? Don't see why in the world...
Look, I tell you.
Is it a coffin?
Coffin? That size and out of stone? Then what would a coffin be doing in my garden?
I've never heard of anyone being buried here. It's much too big.
Mr. Gracie, I got it.
What?
Roman. The Romans left it here.
Romans?
Don't you understand? The Romans. The Romans. Invaded and lived in Britain over 1,500 years ago. They left it here.
Nobody like that lived round here. And don't you tell me anything different, Mr. Jeffrey.
But I am telling you, a Roman sarcophagus.
Now, Mr. Jeffrey.
Oh, never mind. Mr. Robinson, run over and get Mr. Robinson here. Tell him to bring a couple of men. We've got to dig this thing up.
We've got to dig it up? Mr. Jeffrey, it's the sun that struck your head.
Now, don't stand there lecturing me. Mr. Robinson, hurry, get in.
No, I won't.
What?
Not to dig it up, I won't. To bury it deeper, yes, but not to dig it up.
This is...
Coffin or one of them heathen, whatever you call it, it makes no difference. If it's been buried here all these years, then I say cover it over and let it be. There's some things best left deep under the ground.
All right, men, are you ready with the ropes?
Ready, Mr.
Robinson. Right, you are. How about you, Joe?
All ready, Mr. Robinson.
Good. Now, when I give the signal, 1, 2, 3, you on that side of the rope pull, while you on the other side work on the block and tackle. 1, 2, and up on 3. Have you got it?
Aye, we have it.
Oh, Mr. Robinson, you will be careful. I mean not to damage.
Now,
I mean,
look here,
please.
Friend Jeffrey. I've been in the building and excavating trade and constable of this township for 20 years.
I know.
And all that time, I've given only one thing, and that's satisfaction.
Yes, sir.
Now, for this little stone container...
Little Judas Priest, man, is 10 foot by 3, and heaven knows how heavy.
Well, true as that may be to my way of thinking, it's still a small job. If you're worried about my damaging it, you're free to call in one of my competitors.
No, Mr. Robinson, I want you to handle the matter. Oh, yes.
All right, then stay clear and I'll give the order.
Now, wait. If you please, Mr. Robinson, wait.
Eh?
That housekeeper of mine, Mrs. Gracie, she wouldn't want to miss the doings, and I don't know where she'd gone off to. If you'd only wait...
Now, Mr. Jeffrey, I'm a busy man, so if you'll just stand aside.
No, please.
All right, men. Now, don't fool until I get the signal. One, two, three, up with him. Up. Easy there, Joe. Bring those ropes over the left. Up with him. Steady there. Not too fast, you fool. Sam, get us ready to put on red. Easy now, Joe.
No. Don't swing it too high. Not too high. Are you dead? Not too high, or is it...
No, put it back in the ground. Put it back in the ground, I tell
Mrs.
you.
Mrs. Gracie, what in the...
Get out of the way.
Put it back in the ground. In the ground it was, and in the ground it belongs. Mr. Jeffrey, I'm going.
Get out of the way. Jeffrey, get that woman out of the way.
In the ground.
Mrs. Gracie, are you crazy?
You get your woman and get away. My men can't hold
it. The tackle is slipping.
Look out. Get on those ropes, fool. Get on those ropes. Lift. Hurry now. Hurry. Get over here.
Mother in heaven. It fell right on top of her.
Get it off.
Coffin fell right on top of her. Oh, Mrs. Gracie.
It's a cruel thing, Mr. Jeffrey. Cruel indeed.
Yes.
Cruel and yet not cruel, for the ways of the divine providence are beyond our poor mortal understanding. Yes, I shall say that very thing over her grave when we bury the poor woman.
As you wish, Reverend.
What a day this has been. More excitement in just a few hours in this village than we've had in a dozen years. I wonder now whether... almost nine. Well, I better be getting back to the church. Have to get everything ready for the service tomorrow. Did you speak to Mr. Carboy about the coffin?
Yes.
That's good. You pay the good lady proper respect, we will. Well, I'll be on my way.
Good night, Reverend.
One thing more, Mr. Jeffrey.
Yes?
I didn't want to speak of it in all the excitement before, but I feel I really should.
Yes, Reverend.
I know you were in quite an emotional state of mind, but do you feel it was quite the proper and respectable thing to do? I mean, having that Roman antique brought right here into the house, when it, inanimate thing though it be, was the direct cause of poor Mrs. Grace's death.
I wanted the sarcophagus in here, Reverend.
Wanted it? But what possible use could that great stone sepulchre be to you? Oh, I realize it has certain intrinsic value. After the funeral, we'll get in touch with the proper museum authorities in London and have them take care of it. But don't you see, it wasn't quite respectful of the dead. Bringing the very thing in here that had caused the tragedy. Not respectful at all, Mr. Jeffrey.
It was what I wanted. Good night, Reverend.
But, Mr. Jeffrey, I... Good night. Good night.
Disrespectful. No fault of Mr. Coffin as she ran under it. Call in the proper authority. I'm proper authority in Roman things myself, I am. Read with old Gibbons the climb and fall of the Roman Empire, didn't I? I certainly did. Here you are, Mr. Coffin. Just where I made them put you. And I did make them, didn't I? Ran right under you, she did. Superstitious old fool. No fault of yours, Mr. Coffin. Yes, you're a big one. Let me see. About 10 feet long on this side and 4 this way. It's a discovery that ought to make history, that it ought. Wait for experts, should I? What would the experts do? Cart you off to one of those museums, and there I'd be... Hey, the man that found you with nothing but a hole in my garden and a new grave in the cemetery to show what had happened. No. I'd be my own expert, Mr. Corbett. I'd open you up myself right now. And I'd take the blame or credit and no mistake about it. iron bar. Mr. Robinson will wonder where his crowbar went. No, won't he, Mr. Coffin? But we'll give it back to him in the morning. Yes, indeed. Yes. Got you wide open enough to look inside now, haven't I? Experts. I'll show them. Can't see. Matches. There now. If you don't mind now, Mr. Coffin, I'll bend over to see what you've got inside. Copy. Got a call. Are you there? Are you there? Reverend, this is Mr. Jeffrey. Yes, Jeffrey. No. Listen to me. That room is a carcass. I just opened it. Inside of it, there's something, a woman, and yet it isn't. I mean... Oh, Reverend, come over quickly. You see, whatever it is, I don't think it's dead.
Much listen to me. I'm a person of understanding, of judgment. I say leave it alone. Don't go near the thing until they get here. Now, I phoned Dr. Thompson at the British Museum. He's an expert, a qualified expert.
Expert. There you go, experting again. Now, you shove on that side and I'll pull on with this.
Yes.
There. That ought to fetch the lid off.
It's all against my better judgment.
All right. Off with it. She goes. Another shove. Open. We've got it open. Reverend, look. Look at her head.
What in Satan's name is it?
Lion's head. That's it, a lion's head.
And the body of a woman.
And alive. She is alive.
Don't be a fool. It's a heathen idol. Stone.
No. It's living skin. I'll touch it. I'll prove it. It is stone.
And a blasphemous heathen thing. We'll cover it up, and in the morning I'll have it buried again.
No, you won't. It's mine. Found it on my property.
Oh, heaven forgive you. The blood of your poor housekeeper still staining it.
Staining it? What are you talking about?
Mrs. Grace's blood. See, it's still on it.
But the outside of the coffin fell on her. This part was closed.
But it is blood. Fresh blood.
Can't be out
here. Mr. Jeffrey.
Reverend. That woman. A minute ago I felt cold stone. And now it's warm.
Constable, can't you walk any faster?
Oh, it'll wait, Reverend. Whatever it is, it'll wait.
But I tell you, he acted like a madman. Practically threw me out of the house bodily because I persisted.
Now, wait a minute, Reverend. Begging your pardon, wait a minute. Me, I don't know a thing about this. I'm sleeping as peaceful as a sheep in the fields when you wake me up.
Will you represent the law in this community?
Not begging your pardon, I don't know that there's any representing to do. If you get what I mean.
But I told
yes,
you...
Yes, sir, you told me that the coffin that killed poor Mrs. Gracie...
He opened it, I tell you.
And since when is that against the law?
Oh, keep walking, man, keep walking.
Begging your pardon, Reverend, I know when I'm walking.
Now, here's the house. Now, go in there and see for yourself.
And that's just what I'm going to do, sir.
You'll see. I demand that you remove the heathen idol by force and have it buried in the ground where it belongs. I demand...
Hold it, sir. Well... It's me, Mr. Jeffrey.
I didn't send for you.
I brought him here.
Oh, it's you, is it?
And now, Mr. Jeffrey, I feel it my duty.
They're begging your pardon, Reverend. As long as you got me out of bed, let me do the talking, if you don't mind, sir. Now, Mr. Jeffrey, I'd like a bit of an explanation.
Explanation, my grandmother.
Constable, he slammed the door in our faces.
Well, that he did, but what of it? He's broke no law that I know of.
Then come and see for yourself.
Eh?
At the window.
What? Glory be. I see the thing now. It can't be alive.
I don't know. stone, and yet it was warm to the touch.
He'd better not be alive.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because. Look for yourself. Mr. Jeffrey, he's cutting into her with that bit of iron.
Come in and help me, Mr. Elton.
Oh, I'm right glad to be of service, I am. I'm glad to be of service. This is devilish hard rock.
Yes, yes it is. But we've got to break the statue open, Mr. Elkington. We've got to.
If you say so.
Oh, those fools, the constable and the reverend, they'll be back soon with some new ideas about getting into the house now, won't they?
I suppose so.
But they won't stop me. They won't. I've a chance to do something before I die. Make a big discovery, I tell you. They won't stop me. We'll have the statue cut open before they get here now, won't we, Mr. Elkington?
I'll try. I will try.
Yes, yes, yes. Cut it open and know the secret. Something that keeps that stone warm as if it were flesh. That'll be a wonderful discovery now, won't it?
Ah, oh, that it will.
Faster, Mr. Elkington, faster.
I'll try. Crikey, this stone is so hard.
They mustn't stop us. No. Faster, Mr. Elkington.
Oh.
Elkington, why have you stopped?
It's my fingers. Cramped. I can't open the hand.
Chisel, give it to me.
All right.
Got to keep working. Got to. I know the secret in you, Lionhead. That's the name I'm going to give her, Elkington. Lionhead. The power that's kept the stone in you warm all these centuries. I've got to know that, Lionhead. And I will know it. Have to keep working. Have to keep
working. Now, Reverend. Reverend, you can drive a man too far. I tell you...
No, Constable, now we'll tell you. For 24 hours, you've been telling the people of this community that the law won't permit you to do this and the law won't permit you to do that.
Well, it won't.
But we tell you, we won't stand by and permit one of our citizens to indulge in heathen madness and not do something about it. Am I right, gentlemen?
But what can I do? He's in his own home. He's not committing any public nuisance.
We've gone over that 100 times. The fact remains, you've got to go in there and stop him. You've got to.
The hardest stone in the world. They beat you up, huh? Yes.
Mr. Jeffrey, I'm asking you, please stop cutting into it.
Secret of the warmth. Before any of the others know about it. Won't they stop me?
Hark! What's that?
Got to keep working.
That sound, Mr. Jeffrey, what is it?
I can't talk to you, Mr. Elkington. Important work.
But, Mr. Jeffrey, the chisel, why did you drop it?
My hand. Like an electric current running through the chisel.
Oh, no.
No, just a weariness in my muscles. Pick up the chisel. Yes. Go on. Yes.
I think I'm going now, Mr. Jeffrey.
No, you stay where you are. I'd rather stay there. If I lock the door for you, they will come in. And I won't let them in before I learn the secret, you hear me?
That sound, Mr. Jeffrey, it's like something burning. You hear? It's been getting louder and louder.
Well, stop. I've got to find the secret of that warmth. 15 centuries of warmth.
Mr. Jeffrey, it's the constable.
I don't care.
Open up, Mr. Jeffrey.
There you... You won't stop me, you meddling fool.
Open up, Mr. Jeffrey, in the name of the law. I've got a warrant this time, good and proper.
Warrant? Oh, no.
Mr. Jeffrey, you ought to really...
No. I'm almost finished. Go away.
Dr. Professor Thompson from the museum.
Mr. Jeffrey, I warn you. Open up or we'll break down the door.
Mr. Jeffrey, I beg of you, please.
No, they won't stop me. But I'm almost through.
I tell you, I'm frightened, I am.
Almost broken through to the middle of my statue.
Oh, no.
I'll find out the secret and no one else. There. My chisel is breaking through. It's hollow. Breaking through.
In a second, I know. In a second, I know.
Help! Somebody help!
Jeffrey, what is it,
Jeffrey? He's on fire! He's on fire!
All right, men, quiet down. Nothing more we can do. Mr. Jeffrey is dead.
Such a horrible way to die.
It was the lantern. Set him afire, I guess.
No, it wasn't that.
Hey, what say, Mr. Elfington?
I saw it all. A flame come out of the statue.
You're dead, man.
No, I swear it's the truth. I saw it. Professor Thompson, you tell him. What did you see as you came through the door?
There was a flame from it.
But how can that be? Flame from a statue?
And the Romans went down to Egypt.
Professor, tell us, what is it? What is this statue?
The lioness-headed goddess Sekhmet.
Well?
And they worshipped her as the goddess of fire.
Much like what Rod Serling did with The Twilight Zone, I think you'll agree that this episode of Lights Out had a sense of cosmic justice. For example, remember how Mr. Jeffries behaved rather coldly when his housekeeper, Mrs. Gracie, was killed as they were lifting the sarcophagus out of the ground? At first, I thought the program was going to play off Mr. Jeffries' fate as having to do with some kind of gas buildup. But Professor Thompson pretty much lays it out as having to do with the supernatural. What with the Goddess of Fire angle and all. As always, the Lights Out series really had some great actors behind the mic, in addition to wonderful Foley artists. I see that the fire is starting to die down, which signals our time for this week is coming to an end, my friends. I would like to point out that while I took a little break from producing this show, I've constantly shared Retro Radio Memories posts over at The Retroist. Of late, focusing on Michael Hansen's Fantastic Mind Web series, and even Ray Bradbury's radio show, appropriately titled Bradbury 13. Thank you again for taking the time to listen to the Retro Radio Memories podcast. The music you hear at the beginning of our podcast was provided by Peachy. If you have musical needs, you may contact him at peachy@retroist.com. If you wish to contact me, you may do so at vicsage@retroist.com. By now, you know, of course, that the show is available on iTunes and Spotify, and it would be awesome if you could take a moment and give us a rating and leave a comment to help us spread the word of our love of old-time radio shows. I want to thank The Retroist for being kind enough to host this podcast, as well as for nearly 9 years giving me a spot to share my love of all things retro. When you have a need for discovering and enjoying things retro, and we all do, hop on over to The Retroist. This has been a Retroist production. Thank you for listening, and have a better one. Goodbye.